Evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I am sitting in once again this evening for the broadcast. I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. If you have your Bibles handy, and I pray you do, join with me once again in the book of James, looking tonight to chapter 3. Faithful listeners may recall, we have been using our time together to examine the book of James over the past several months, covering various aspects, attributes, and traits that James, the brother of the Lord, felt crucial for the spiritual development of those scattered early converts and believers who had spread out from Jerusalem following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in James chapter 3, we will see that since the founding of our faith, it has been important that within these bodies of believers, mature Christians practice power and control over their tongues, and that roles of leadership and authority be carefully cultivated from within the body of believers. Though individuals who have demonstrated maturity in the faith, these words are just as relevant today, friends, to believers as they were so long ago. So tonight we will be examining the first 12 verses of chapter 3 in a study I've entitled, The Tongue, a Tiny Flame That's a Test to Tame. Look with me, if you would, beloved, at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as it is written. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithsoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and curses. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both yield salt water and fresh. Amen. Firstly, we see in these first two verses, he gives a caution to too many seeking after roles of leadership or mastery within the early church, warning that they would be put to a greater scrutiny, responsibility, culpability, and would be held to a greater accountability for any hypocrisy between their teaching and their own personal walk. Friends, we see here that God's word speaks an unchanging truth. Once we are saved and identify as Christians, our reputations cover not only ourselves, but they also either add or subtract to the world's perception of Christ himself. In fact, while the origin of the word like Christian was likely closer to a slur against believers in the first to third century, it did not take those believers long to embrace that term, not as one of dishonor, rather to one as of the highest honor, and is one of the many reasons why believers have always been encouraged to maintain blamelessness and innocence in worldly affairs, and to keep close accounts with the Lord in spiritual ones. Those who would seek leadership positions must be sure not to give the world any cause to disparage our God. In the second verse, he specifies, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Friends, have you ever wondered why it is you can mention any other faith's God and offend practically no one? But if you speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ outside the company of believers, more often than not, someone will find offense. You see, there is only one God who convicts, only one God who loves, and only one God who forgives, and only one God who is true. Now, since we know that an unbelieving world already stands condemned and convicted in the eyes of the one true God, we must also remember that God loves him dearly and does not desire any to perish, and that all Christians, regardless of where they may be in their walk, need strive to be humble, meek, and gentle. showing as much love and forgiveness to those we encounter daily as we ourselves have already received from our Father, while not deluding nor being ashamed of any portion of God's holy word. We need encourage all we encounter that they too may be forgiven, that they too may be redeemed, that they too may obtain the victory over any besetting sin they are willing to lay upon the altar, and turn not back. Friends, we are called to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the redemption that He alone offers. Never forget that His is the royal ensign we are called to bear each and every day, that we must strive to not only say and do those things which bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, we must strive to conform to the image of the gentle shepherd, to carry the peace of God upon our shoulders, to refrain our speech from any filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, as well as our actions. Now more than ever, this is a difficult standard to match. People today are willing to take offense at even small differences, or to strive to be offended for social clout, to purposely shut their eyes and their ears from hearing or seeing anything that challenges their accepted worldview, to the extent that it is increasingly common nowadays to have family members who speak not, nor gather together over holidays for differences of trivial issues. As the people have become more wise in their own conceit, they have also become more isolated, separated, and alone. And friends, even within the body of the church, we see brothers and sisters who persist for a while, but are then overcome by the world. Know this, in the age of information, the devil works tirelessly to provide us with access to so much information, it is easy to think ourselves wise. And the worldly can become offended when anyone would suggest any ideal or concept outside their own ideological echo chambers. Which is why, more than ever, we must strive to understand the world and the current events less from our feelings and more from a scriptural and biblical perspective. We are told in Matthew what the signs of the end time will be. Join with me quickly in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. I and many other students of the Bible do not find it too far a stretch to perhaps hear in our Lord's words in these passages a pronouncement of sorrows upon the world strikingly similar to our current state of global affairs, as we are once again seeing persecutions rise up against Christians, with over 4,400 brothers and sisters losing their lives in 2024 alone, martyred for the crime of their faith. Wars and rumors of wars abound, and while the devil ceases not in his working, beloved, it's still all going by the book. Picking up back in verses 3 through 5, we read, Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithsoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Here the apostle uses some very vivid visual imagery as we consider the effect of a bit in the horse's mouth or the effect of a helm or a rudder in a boat. I can think of no better way to describe the tremendous forces, whether for good or evil, that are commanded by the tongue. Friends, do you use your tongue more often to uplift or to upbraid? To encourage or to discourage? To edify or to destroy? Our words can bring peace and comfort, or sow the seeds of strife and oppression. The hearts of men and women are fickle, and when the heart is given unfettered control of the tongue, it is easy to stumble into sin. Praise be to God that He has provided His word, that we might not only recognize this condition, but be steeled and fortified against such foolishness by the application of divine knowledge and wisdom. Picking up back in verses 6 through 12, we read, And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, it is unruly and evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and curses. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vine figs? So can no fountain both yield sweet salt water and fresh. Beloved, our hearts can at times mislead us, and our tongues can, if we take not great care, betray us. Friends, the taming of the tongue is not a one-and-done type of mastery or maturity, rather a daily ordeal. We must always remember the words of Paul over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Friends, our Lord is calling out tonight, seeking men and women who are willing to step up and demonstrate maturity and faith, control over their tongues, and a desire to do great service for the Lord. Tonight, friend, are you willing to answer the call?